for the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back again with a weekly look at the world of non-league football. It's a busy week too, with managerial changes, FA Cup draws, FA Vars and FA Trophy both coming up this weekend too, along with the league programme, and we try to cover all aspects of that in this week's show. So coming up, we get into FA Vars mode. It's the second qualifying round, and our resident stat man has been busy previewing all 182 ties. So we put him to the test and delve into some of the stats and facts with Philonets. One of those FA Vars games is a local derby between two clubs who rose from the ashes when their former club was wound up. We speak to Hinckley LR Secretary Stuart Millage about the club's new name, building for the future, and football's toughest job as football secretary. Football's other toughest job is possibly being the manager. In the last year, my other guest has enjoyed playoff promotion, a new job in the Football League, endured sacking, unemployment, and has now returned as the new boss of a club very close to his heart. Mark Molesley talks about his new appointment at Aldershot Town, helping round us up everything else and all the to-ing and fro-ing this week is editor-at-large of the non-league paper, Matt Badcock, as he reviews the week's news and previews this weekend's newspaper at the non-league paper. Much to come in another bumper show, so sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So let's start with a familiar voice, a man of many talents, a man of many hats, and a man of many stats. See what I did there? Which is why we love getting him on the show almost every week nowadays. It's the second qualifying round this weekend in the FA Vars. So time to welcome to the Non-League Football Show a legend that is at FA Cup Vars. I'll start again on that one, shall I? At FA Vars Fact Vars. Mr. Philonets, welcome back, Phil.
Yeah, it is very confusing, too, so it happens to me a lot about which one I'm using at the time. So just put them together; it's easier.
We need a combined. I need some sort of old fashioned Aston or something. Some captions that come up so I can remind myself. I probably could do with one of those to remind myself who I am some days as well. But anyway, Phil, I said the weekend at FA Vars, but whilst we've recorded this on a Thursday, it won't be heard by our audience until Friday morning at the earliest. And by then, the FA Vars will be already underway.
That's right. Yeah. Quorn are hosting Leicester Nirvana tonight to kick off 182 ties over what will be 4 days now.
Yeah, and it makes sense with that number of ties that we spread the joy and spread the football across some extra days. But they certainly, in my memory, I can't think of another Thursday evening game.
Unfortunately, it's not a stat I've kept record of what games were played on Thursday, I'm afraid. So I'm sure it has happened in the past, but I can't recall off the top of my head.
Yeah, you mentioned the second qualifying round, 182 ties, and you've previewed each and every one of them as ever, but not 182 matches, unfortunately.
No, unfortunately, we lost poor Levin from the competition, didn't we? They've pulled out of their league. So, that means that, is it Liskeard? Liskeard? I don't know how you pronounce it. Liskeard Athletic?
Liskeard Athletic, isn't it? I seem to recall being a very wee boy going to on a Cornwall holiday. These are the sort of clubs that fit in with your holiday schedule, obviously, don't they? And plenty of ties down in the southwest there. And I know we'll come back to southwest in a minute. Actually, I know you love a story to a game and clubs looking to avenge previous defeats. So tie number seven was one that sprung out at me. We'll look to be corrected on pronunciations, but it's Cletor Moore Celtic against Harrogate Railway Athletic. Two step six clubs in different Northwest Counties divisions, and they've met before.
Yeah, I think Harrogate actually in Northern Counties East League One. So yeah, they met before just last season actually, and it was a humdinger of a tie that went all the way to penalties, and I think Harrogate won 9-8.
And that's the sort of thing that's going to stick in the back of your mind, isn't it, as a fan, particularly on the back of what last season was, limited games as well. And I can almost feel the uh, the excitement of the game for those home fans looking to try and get one over on that defeat from last year. Now, it is a regionalised competition, and it's limited to steps 5 and 6 now. So perhaps not a surprise that many of these clubs are no stranger to each other. I said we go back to the Southwest. Well, another one that another club I've taken in during my holiday periods in previous years. Tie 170, Wadebridge Town against Newquay. Both sides in the Southwest Peninsula West at step 6, but they've met regularly in this competition as well.
Wadebridge Town versus Newquay. It's not surprising when you've got limited clubs in a regional area that they should meet all the time. But that three past meetings, I think Wadebridge have won a couple, and Newquay have won the third one. But it's not since 08, 09 since the last met. And, you know, with all the regionalisation, you might expect more common ties, but actually three meetings between two clubs in this round is the most common level of repeated ties. So actually, it's not that common actually to be up against a foe you've met in the competition before. I think there's only 34 of the 182 ties that involve clubs you've met before, and that's working out at about 18.5%. So it's not that many, really, less than 1 in 5.
And I guess you say that, yeah, the last time they went was 08-09. I mean, since then, you know, there's a chance that probably the same managers manage both sides. I don't know if that is the position there, but I mean, going back to the last round, before the last round, we spoke to the new manager down at Moneyfields, Glenn Turnbull. He was, of course, came so close in the FA Vars last year to the semis with United Services Portsmouth. Moneyfields, another local rival to United Services, but they've hosted another Pompey neighbour in AFC Portchester. I think that's tie 154.
They are. They're meeting at Moneyfields. We know that Moneyfields took a step down for this season, so they're in the Vars instead of the trophy. And they've met before in this competition. Probably, I think, 11 years ago. Moneyfields did win that game 2-1, so AFC Portchester will be looking to avenge that defeat.
It's a long list. Before we went on air, Phil and I were discussing the benefits of printing over screen scripts and things that we like to read and we like to write, I've got a bit of a printer issue, but that wasn't before I printed out, I think, 72 pages of Phil's FA Vars second qualifying round preview, which I will keep for prosperity. I will take abuse from my wife, I'm sure, for all the paperwork that I continue to collect, but I think that's a non-league fan's prerogative, isn't it, collecting the paper?
Well, yeah, I think it is. It's inherent in most of our fans of non-league, isn't it? Got to get a programme, got to get a team sheet, got to get a record of everything that they've done. And it's probably the only way most of us can remember what it is we've done, to have it written down.
That and, of course, yourself reminding us. There's going to be history, whatever happens this weekend. Tie 148, one of those where whoever wins the tie, Greenways or Forest Hill, this will be the furthest they've ever got in the competition. A few like that, I think, Phil.
Yeah, there are. I think there's four ties in total where the winner is guaranteed to make history for the club. So, yeah, Greenways and Forest Hill Park is definitely one of them. Axminster Town taking on Brixham is another. You've got AFC Vardenians against Kent Football United. I know that Bristol Telephones and Chip and Sopley Town are scheduled to meet, but I'm not sure if that game's going ahead, given I heard that Bristol Telephones up to cancel a game midweek. I'm not sure whether that's COVID-related or not, but I don't know what the status is in that game.
I'm trying to quickly think about a Bristol Telephones pun there, and I'll look to see if I can engage with them. Obviously your stats pack full of history, deeper history. I see some old names of successful clubs in the FA Vars. The Tie 131, Epsom and Newell, they're hosting the Mile Oak and hoping to emulate the glory days of when they were the runners-up in the competition way back when. I'm trying to remember the year that was. But
it was 1975. It's etched on my memory because it's the very first time I went to Wembley. I didn't realise at the time, as a 9-year-old or 10-year-old, I was what I was, that it was the very first FA Vars, but now it's quite good kudos to know that I was at the first FA Vars final. Unfortunately, my team, Epsom, and Newell, they got beaten on the day and haven't been back since. So maybe this year is their year.
Well, there you go. And we hadn't even discussed that one, but you can probably tell me then who won and who they're playing this weekend.
Epsom Newell lost to Hoddesdon Town, I think, if I can remember rightly, yes. And Hoddesdon are in this round again, so they've got a home tie. Just going to check who it is against. Yeah, they're playing at Woodford Town. I think they've met before, I think, just last season as well. I think Hoddesdon won last season, so Woodford Town will be keen to try and avenge that defeat from last year.
Yeah, there's other previous winners against each other as well that stands out for me. Slightly more recently, you've got the North Shields 2015 winners, I think, hosting Wickham, who were winners back in 1981.
Yeah, that's right. So it's two former winners meeting up before the first round has come about. So unfortunately, one of those will exit the competition. And we've also got Big Town and Rugby Town, this town, we've mentioned Hoddesdon and Stansted as five other clubs that have won this tournament in the past and hoping to have another run this season.
Yeah, so we talk about the competition now with all the changes in the pyramid and clubs moving up, and we've got step five and step six clubs in the competition yet, but there's still plenty of strength and depth there with all those previous winners.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of the FA Vars, and I've said it before. Every single Vars final has involved at least one club who's never been in the final before. So that means that there's been a heck of a lot of teams involved in across the years, since almost 50 years now. So, you know, there's going to be teams that have had good runs in the past who will be keen to have another go this season or in future seasons.
And is there any particular stat of the round that you've got this time round, Phil?
Well, it's a little less things standing out, I guess, but we've got Ringwood Town, who are playing Downton, and they'll be keen to avenge the 9-1 defeat they had against them 10 years ago. So that'd be quite good if they could do that. It's quite interesting. We've got a couple of very local derbies happening. You may know that Hinckley AFC won 18-0 in the previous round, which was a competition record. And their reward is a very local tie at Hinckley RFC, so that should be quite a feisty affair.
Yeah, I think you've read my mind on that one, Phil, because hopefully we'll be speaking to the Hinckley LR secretary later on in the show as well. And as you say, a very tasty tie ahead there for lots of history there for the two clubs.
Yeah, I think it's not always been a friendly history as well, so it'd be quite interesting to see how that game pans out. So, one to definitely keep an eye on. And quite a lot of rivalry down in Andover as well, where both Andover Town and Andover New Street had great cup set victories away from home in the last round and have been paired together to face each other in this round.
So hopefully a couple of towns around the country in full FA Vars mode this weekend. It's not just the FA Vars this weekend. FA Trophy commencing too, with a limited number of clubs in the first qualifying round of that this weekend. You've not been tempted to look at the stats there too then, Phil?
Well, you know, I can't resist, but I haven't got myself on top of it as much as I might like to. The Trophy is quite an interesting tournament because historically, over time, it's changed its structure quite a lot, and it makes it fairly difficult to report on how teams have performed in terms of how far they've gone, as each round has meant different levels of the competition as time's gone on. So it is something I'm looking at as to maybe having an FA Trophy fact bar, but with all the work I'm doing on my FA Cup 150 book this year, it's probably not the best year to try and do that as well.
Yeah, quite an exciting year for you already. Phil, hopefully you're going to be back with us again next week. Anyway, previewing the FA Cup third qualifying round. But before you go, just remind everybody where they can get hold of your stats and facts on that their internet thingy.
Yeah, so obviously I'm running FA Vars Fact File on Twitter. You can see all my tweets there. Then I've also done a blog which contains all of the tie-by-tie previews. That is on my FA Cup Factfile WordPress.com site. So you can get everything you need to know about all 182 ties this weekend.
And we will talk FA Cup next week, but give another little plug for your FA Cup 150 book as well.
Yeah, so that the FA Cup 150 book, which celebrates 150 years of the FA Cup with my own distinct style of facts and stats, that's available to buy from my website, which is facupfatfile.co.uk/shop, or you can go a more traditional route and get it from Amazon. And people tell me it's worth getting.
And a sellout already, a record second run already.
Yeah, that's right. So the first batch I produced has gone in 8 weeks, and so I've now produced a load more, so hopefully they can go through in the same timetable and we can see it continue to grow.
Well, we're already itching for the announcement of the FA VAR's history book as well, which I'm sure Phil's already working on. As we allow him another 5 minutes to actually get on with his the rest of his life, because he's always talking to various non-league shows and media outlets and trying to sell his book.
Indeed. Yeah, well, the FA VAR is 50 years old in a few years, so it is on my radar.
Well, hopefully we'll all still be going by then. But this weekend, it is the second round qualifying of the FA VARs. Phil Annetts at FA VARs. Thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
My pleasure, Tim. Cheers.
So let's stay with the FA VARs for now. And as Phil Annetts mentioned earlier, there are plenty of derby matches in the second qualifying round this weekend. So let's get straight to one of those and head to Hinckley, Leicestershire. And welcome to the Non-League Football Show. Secretary of Hinckley LR, Stuart Millidge.
That's me.
Welcome, Stuart. Now, Hinckley LR FC, is that what it is? Because for the first time I can ever recall, the club underwent a name change mid-season.
Only in the last few weeks, actually. Yeah. It's gone from Leicester Road Football Club to Hinckley LRFC.
And does that give you more of a local branding to the club?
It does, really, yes, because we seem to probably encourage more sponsorship with the name Hinckley.
Yeah, and why was the delay? As I say, it's the first time I can recall where any club changing their name mid-season. Was it something that was put to the FA and obviously all the other delays there?
Spoke about earlier. There was a meeting pre-season regarding it, and they had to wait a certain amount of time before they could change the name back to Hinckley, because as Hinckley United went into liquidation, it has to be a certain amount of years before you can use the name Hinckley again.
But now there you are, Hinckley LR. I won't dwell on the history too much, but I remember featuring Hinckley United on this show after the 97 merger of Athletic and Town. Had some great success through the Southern League and into the Conference North before the club was due to the debts. Now, it was one of those weird ones. Two clubs spun from the ashes, didn't they? Leicester Road and Hinckley AFC. And they're your opposition this weekend. Not the first time the clubs have met since that, but the first in the FA VARs, I believe.
Yeah, that's true, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's basically AFC started up as a community club. And obviously, after the defunct of Hinckley United, there were still some board members left who immediately went in to obtain the Leicester Road Stadium. So that's how Leicester Road started.
And we talk about on this show almost every week about Hollywood maybe picking up a story from non-league, and this would be almost perfect for some sort of Netflix series where the two clubs suddenly come head to head in the FA VARs. But I mean, I'm involved. I have been involved with my club, and they're still there. A club that's merged, and there's always. Some people more bitter than others about the split, the success of one or the other. So there's no doubt going to be some added edge to this game. But surely this is a great opportunity, particularly with the change of name recently, to be a strong advert for the FA VARs, but also for the town of Hinckley.
Yes, of course it is, yeah. Yeah, we hopefully there'll be quite a few coming down to it. Our gates have improved because we've just been promoted up to Step 5. Gates have included, and there's more sponsorship coming in to the club. So hopefully it's a good game of football between two local sides. Hopefully there'll be a few people to encourage you to come down and have a look at it.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you got promoted to move leagues as well in the reshuffle over the summer.
That's right.
From the Midland League Division 1 to the United Counties League, Premier South, I think you're in, aren't you?
That's right, yeah.
Have you noticed a distinct difference in styles of play or standards, both on and off the field?
Definitely in some players. We've come up against teams that you probably wouldn't have come up against in the Midland Division 1, like Harborough Town, Rugby Town, who we played the other night, and there's two other clubs like that got pushed over this way. That was Coventry United and Coventry Sphinx, both strong sides. We are there's two of us remaining left up to now that have been unbeaten this season. Fortunately, we're one of them, and Newport Pagnell is the other, who we play a week on Saturday.
So quite a couple of weekends, and obviously your opposition as well hit 16 goals in the last round of the FA Vars as well. So if there is anybody drifting around that fancies a game that seems to have everything, then this would be the one.
Of course it is. Yeah,
and
to be.
Well, one thing I was going to ask you, because you were involved with the old United side, and I say I've been involved with my club. One of the things I talk about is that when my club were in the National League at the highest level of non-league, at the conference back then, I didn't actually enjoy it as much as I do a bit further down the pyramid. How are you finding that? Because you were with the club when in the Conference North, and you've now been promoted, but you experience it sort of at the lower levels of non-league. It's a different experience. It's difficult to explain until you've been there behind the scenes.
Yeah, it is really, because when we were probably 5 minutes away from going into the Conference Premier League, we lost in the playoff to... we were 2-1 up with... 5 minutes ago and lost 3-2. But obviously, as the club's run at the moment, as Hinkley's run at the moment, it's run financially solid before. And it's like any other things that happen, Tim, that clubs can pay out too much money. Players will bleed you dry if you give them the chance. And unfortunately, that's the way Hinkley United went. But now this club is stable. It won't overdo the expenses or wages or anything like that. It's just different club altogether. It's more enjoyable to work with, and everybody there, the manager, Neil Lyne, he's the head of football for the whole club. He's been there since he started managing the Leicester Road when it first started, from the ashes of Hinkley United. So really, I think the club is in a 100% better off than it was many years ago, and hopefully it will continue, and who knows what will happen. You never know, do you? It's a funny old game at times, isn't it?
It is. One thing I was going to mention, you had the clubhouse refurbished just a few years back, but I guess with COVID and all the shutdown, you haven't really had the opportunity to realise that to its full potential.
It's funny enough. It's funny enough, Tim, that over the last few weeks, we've brought a commercial manager in, and the club is looked after its first birthday party up in the new room a couple of weeks ago, and there are now 7 or 8 new bookings in between now and Christmas. So things are coming on. Things are really coming on.
And that's the thing I do bang the drum week in, week out on, that as much as we love the fact that these are non-league clubs and we're not in that corporate bubble that the Premier League are and that sort of thing, clubs do need to run as a commercial entity, and it needs to be that balance of playing budget to off the field budget needs to be a lot nearer balance than it has been in recent years.
Oh, that's definite. That is, it's really definite. I'm only the football secretary. The rest of the business that's done at the club is shared between the three directors, one of them being catering, one of them being commercial, and one of them being financial. And to be quite safe, looking at Saturday, there are 70 people eating pre-match upstairs. So I think that tells you it all, doesn't it, about what you can do. And yeah, they've just started, and as I say, full house upstairs, 70 eating before the game on Saturday.
And it says a lot about your potential as well as the club, doesn't it? Because I think the ground, Leicester Road ground, is still the second largest ground within the Leicestershire as a county. It's only the King Power at Leicester City that's bigger than yours.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes, we've staged FA games there a couple of years. Just after the Hinkley United went under, we was... they had the girls European Championship, 3 games from that there. So we were very well thought of with the FA.
Well, as I say, now could be your time. And you know, one of the other things I've noticed is that the clubs retain the nickname of the Knitters. Now, diver Tom Daly recently at the Olympics, he seems to have helped a resurgence in knitting across the country. Could this be now that the Knitters become you know, everybody's favourite club?
Of course it will. Yeah, it'll always be there now, right from when it used to be. It'll never lose its name. Never.
And you've been involved there for a while. One of the names I remember from those successful United days is, of course, Andre Gray, who left you to join Luton, and then Brentford, Burnley, Watford, and I think he's currently on loan at QPR. But you've been involved in non-league for a long while, and you've seen him and others come through. Do you still think that there's more hidden talents like that still to be discovered at non-league level?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I mean, I think there's lads there playing, because the majority, going back to the team as itself at the moment, I would say that 75% of the team that's playing at the moment were the start of Leicester Road youth team when it started in the Midland League, when it came up again, when it started as Leicester Road. There's still players playing now, and players have gone on that were there, and it's a very lucky thing that you come across one lad that's good. I mean, before Andre Gray got there, I could tell you now, he was absolutely rubbish for 3 months. And suddenly, he changed. The lad changed. And he's gone on to what he is today.
I think it was probably your own guidance that probably rubbed off on him there, Stuart.
Yeah,
we're saying it's a big game at the weekend. How important is the FA Vars for the club this season? Or is the league more of a challenge?
No, we want to go as far as we can in the Vars. It's a credible competition. So really all clubs should be wanting to go as far as they can. I mean, even the FA Cup, we got through 2 rounds and then played Hanley, and we only lost in a replay. Mm. So we're definitely up for anything that comes our way.
And because it's not, you know, normally we'll talk to a manager, we'll talk to a chairman, maybe a player, and I love speaking to other people with other roles within the club. So as a secretary, Stuart, just give us an idea of you know, how many hours you have to put in to the club, and how many times you double check yourself so that you don't make a mistake. It's a complicated old job.
Complicated old job, if you ask my wife. She says I spend too much time on the computer, and I do enjoy match days. I mean, match days is basically me doing the team sheets and everything. And then after we've done all that, I get down and I'm on the mic for the rest of the game. And then everything else after that, putting in results and then confirmation and signing on players. And no, it's good. It's all good fun. It's all good for the club. I enjoy doing it. Obviously, there'll be some time, I don't know, in the next few years where I probably won't be able to do it. But until then, I'll just carry on and help the club out as much as I can.
And I'm sure that the club are very thankful for you for it as well. And we're very thankful to get you on the Non-League Football Show, Stuart. Best of luck at the weekend and for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
And look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Okay, Tim. Thanks very much indeed.
So away from cup competitions, this week has been fairly lively in the managerial stakes. One club are waving goodbye to a boss and ushering in a new team at Aldershot Town. And I'm pleased to say that old friend of the show, a new manager at the Shots, Mr. Mark Molesey, joins me back here on the Non-League Football Show. Welcome back, Mark.
No, thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with congratulations. A club you know well, there does seem to be an immediate buzz about your appointment. It's where you started properly as a professional footballer. Do you already feel that you're at home?
Yeah, no, certainly so. I think it's, you know, as soon as the opportunity arose, I jumped at it with both feet. You know, I would have ran there, to be honest. It was a club close to my heart. And like I said, I'm really, really, really proud to be manager of the club. And it's a proud moment for me and my family. And, you know, it's great to be back in football. So, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to the challenge and delighted with the opportunity.
A Mark Molesey tackle with two feet. I'm not sure about those ones.
Yeah, you're not allowed them anymore. I hope, you know, I'll be telling them not to tackle like I used to.
It's been some year for us all, but your year. I mean, last time we spoke on this show, I think, was ahead of the National South playoff final with you managing Weymouth. That was only August 2020. That was you had 3 months without a game. You beat Dorking in the semis, nearly letting them in. Then you were preparing for that final, which was against Dartford. You went on to win it on penalties. Then shortly after that, you took the South End job in League Two. Since then, we've learned much more about off the field situation that you were up against as well. It didn't work out, but I guess if this last 12 months has been a learning curve for the rest of us, you must have fast tracked a PhD.
Yeah, I think it's certainly been an experience the last year. I've sort of had every emotion, the highs of promotion, the highs of taking, you know, a club of Southend stature in League Two, and then like I said, some real big learning opportunities for me, which followed that as well. So, yeah, and then unemployment. So, yeah, it's been you know, a roller coaster ride of trials and tribulations and ups and downs. But you know, that's life of a football manager.
And then, as you say, you're almost like in a dream job for you. Aldershot, it's a big club, but it's not got the resources of many others in the league, both in the National Division and also those, you know, battling to come up from the North and South there as well. What are the expectations of yourself and the expectations of the club?
Well, look, I don't think there will ever be any outlandish statements from me after only being in the job, you know, a couple of days. But, you know, we love the football club. We definitely want to be building a football club, and to do that, we've got to, you know, put some. There's already strong foundations there. You know, the club has been in trouble before. You know, and then we're going to make sure that you know, the board of directors and the chairman have made sure that it's on an even footing. They've worked really hard to do that, and we're going to make sure that we work like that, and it's going to be a self-sufficient model. But we want to provide a self-sufficient model, but also grow the football club on and off the pitch, and try and steer it onwards and upwards. But first and foremost, to do that, you've got to put a product on the pitch that, you know, the fans can get behind and want to come and support. So, you know, first and foremost, you know, we've got a responsibility to, you know, put that all action display out on the pitch. And, you know, hopefully we can get the time to build the club on and off the pitch and make it, you know, drive forward.
Yeah, and talking about that pitch, you've come in at the start of the week, you've taken some training sessions, but you don't train at the ground. Have you had a chance to have a wander around on the pitch, sit in the dugout ahead of the weekend, you know, reminisce about your memories as a player and maybe dream about where you want to take the club?
Yeah, listen, I was down at the club yesterday because, yeah, you're right, we don't train at the club. So yesterday I was down there after training and, you know, I walked back into the changing room and not a lot's changed since I was a player. So, you know, I probably had a moment to myself where I did reminisce a little bit. But, you know, I have to stress there's no time for sentiment now. You know, it's full, you know, it's all hands on deck now. It's full throttle and I've got to be focused. I can't. You know, my heart, you know, took me for the job, but now I've got to clearly use my head. There's plenty to focus on. I've got to have complete clarity in my decisions now and how we work. So the sentiment's over now. It's all about hard work, rolling up your sleeves and giving this job everything I've got.
Yeah, you mentioned all hands on deck. You brought in two familiar faces with you to support you. Tom Prodomo, who worked with you at Weymouth and Southend, and former Aldershot, AFC Wimbledon and Hayes boss, Terry Brown. Both guys that you've been through so much with, do they bring out the best in you?
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, we've got, you know, we want to build this football club up on and off the pitch. And, you know, having someone like Terry Brown, who I owe so much to in my career, and another person who's all the shot through and through and had the heart, you know, the club at heart. I think, you know, any success I've ever had, I've always been surrounded by good people. And, you know, at Weymouth, I was very fortunate, you know, to have great people and great players around me. And my education at Bournemouth, I was with, you know, the very best. So it's important I have people like that around me. And certainly my assistant coming with me, Tom, as well. He's been my right arm for the last, you know, 4 years. And, you know, his work ethic and his attention to detail is unrivaled. So, you know, that was a stipulation for me that my assistant had to come with me. So, you know, so I could build the environment which I feel can help this football club. So delighted to have those sort of people around me, and also coming back, seeing some familiar faces around the club. I know that there's good people at this football club who want the same things as us, and it's up to us to work hard to try and deliver that.
Yeah, and Tom, of course, also had a non-league managerial experience on his own at Bashley in the Wessex League. Now, Dave Anderson also often talks about on this show about good number twos knowing all that there is to know, but knowing when best to point that out as well. You've got two ex-managers alongside you. Will there be times when you're going to have to pull the reins in and sort of pull rank on them?
No, not at all. Me and Tom have worked for 4 years now, and you know, we feel that we've got a good relationship, and he knows me inside out, and I know him, and you know, and it works. And Terry Brown, you know, having a man of that experience around you, I think he's very happy with his role, and it'll be a great soundboard for me, and also help out in every facet of the football club. So, you know, I think me and Tom will be taking care of the training ground and the games and the matches, and having someone like Terry, you know, helping us along the way is fantastic. I think we all know our roles and responsibilities, and you know, I think it's a good team to put together, along with what I've inherited as well. You know, I must stress, we're only a couple of days in, but I've got nothing but positive things to say about the players. But most importantly, some of the staff that I've inherited there's some you know, some people there have been do a lot of fantastic work, probably unseen, and you know, we're very fortunate to be able to take them on as well.
Yeah, I was going to mention the players. Only a handful of games played, so still plenty to play for. But I guess that applies to the players too. You know, they've certainly got a way of playing themselves into your thoughts and the way that you want to play the game.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're quite clear on how we like the game played and what we will want. But going in only 2 days in, you've got to be very careful how you introduce that, and you know, you can't do too much too soon, but at the same time, you don't want to waste the second, and you want to start trying to put your DNA on it. But you know, that's the balancing act I face, and you know, I'll be doing my best to sort of introduce the way that we want things. But also at the moment, we're very much in assessment mode and looking to see, you know, how we will work best with the group. But I'm very excited to be at the football club, and I'm very excited to what I've seen so far. And like I said, initial impressions are good, but you know, we've got to make sure that those levels are consistent, and we keep, you know, working hard to improve every day.
Yeah, a tough start with an inform FC Halifax Town visitors to the recreation ground. I'm guessing you've been keeping well up to speed with what's been going on in the division and across non-league, so you're probably better prepared than most new managers.
You know, I hope so. You know, it's certainly a fashionable league this year. There's plenty of action going on. I think we've obviously BT following it. It's certainly an exciting league. There's some fantastic football clubs, managers and players in it. And it's certainly going to be a challenge, but a challenge that we're relishing. You know, we should be excited by the you know, the depth of quality in this league. And we've got to be embracing that. And hopefully that will be bringing the best out in us. And that's the way we are. You know, we're Aldershot. You know, we'll be respectful for teams, but we certainly won't be fearful. And we want to put our club back on the map.
Yeah, and you've got a very strong managerial CV in a very short time. It's not as if you've darted about from club to club, but there can't be many appointments at this level who can look forward to games against two of their former clubs in a season. How's that going to feel?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably I'll have to tell you when it gets closer to it. I mean, look, Weymouth have such fond memories, and you know, very much looking forward to going down there. But as a manager, you've got to be professional, and I'll be preparing and working hard and showing the respect that both clubs deserve, but also I'll show them respect by how hard we'll work in the lead up to playing them. So look, two fantastic football clubs, big football clubs, and ones I'm looking forward to playing.
Yeah, I mentioned everybody seems to be getting behind you in the role. I'm not sure if you're a religious man, but surely the fact that the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, visits Aldershot this Sunday is no coincidence.
Is it? Yeah, no, it's very kind of him to come down and see me. I wasn't expecting that, but no, it is obviously a great honour for the community. I heard that he's down. I think he's down Sunday, isn't he? But shame he couldn't get down Saturday. I would have given him a ticket. But great for the community to have someone of that stature to come down.
Talking of tickets, I can see a pay-per-view event of Terry Brown and Justin Welby. That would be a big seller, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. And like I said, I think the Aldershot fans will be very pleased to see Terry Brown back at the football club. Like I said, someone who's got Aldershot at his heart and has achieved great things at the football club. And I think the club are richer for having that experience around it.
Yeah, well, I think the club is a much richer place with all of your appointments this week. Mark Molesey, best of luck in the role, and hopefully we'll speak to you again very soon.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
So rounding off this week's news, it's time to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers, our destination as ever, and a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Editor-at-large, Mr. Matt Badcock. Welcome back, Matt.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, we do allow you back on. You are the man in the hot seat there at the Non-League Paper. And we heard about your long distance driving up to Grimsby last week. You're a bit more nearer home this week, I guess.
Yeah, I'm just at home this week, just staying at home. It was nice to go. It was nice to get out and watch a game and drive far away. But as I just said 2 minutes ago, I didn't enjoy it as much when I was lost trying to get around a road closure just outside Lincoln at 11 o'clock with still 2 hours to go. But I made it home. I'm home.
For that non-league football comedy sitcom that we will write one day, there is a whole episode of non-league fans going round the same roundabout several hundred times and reappearing in the same foot services and just setting up.
I think
for the
whenever evening. It happens, I think this is what people don't understand about like non-league football is these road closures. I just think all these players coming back from games and midweeks and trying to get round diversions and follow these sort of signs through random towns, and honestly I think it needs to be talked about more.
I've often thought about the excuses that non-league players give their employers the following morning, Wednesday morning when they turn up bleary-eyed at a game. I mean, some of these are teachers, so they're used to excuses. But if you've arrived back after diversions, you arrive back, maybe you get back on the club coach, maybe 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, back at the club. Then you've got another hour maybe to drive back home, and your head just about hits the pillow as the alarm goes off, and then you go into work and get through that. Your employer's never going to believe some of the stories that happen at non-league level.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I think actually some of the road diversions I've seen in my time do have to be seen to be believed. But it is true, though. It's sort of like this part of non-league football that kind of you almost do sort of forget about. I mean, I was talking to the Wear manager this week, Paul Housey, and he's saying about getting to Hemel, and obviously they drew with Hemel on Saturday, a last-minute goal, and to sort of come back from 2-0 down to force a replay at Hemel, and he said, sort of put so much into that second half, and then on Tuesday, there's sort of been at work Monday, been at work Tuesday, we're all sort of dashing to get to Hemel on a Tuesday night, and there's an accident on M25 and traffic, and you sort of get there and you're sort of a bit worried about it and kind of a bit sceptical of kind of how it will kind of play out. And obviously they went and got the win, and it's these sort of kind of little things that probably we don't always appreciate and see from the outside and take into account sometimes, but it sort of shows what a great effort it is by all the players sometimes to get around various parts of the country to play a game of football and keep us all entertained and in jobs.
Yeah, and not just the playing staff as well. Yeah, a big round of applause and thank you to the kit people, the kit manager and his assistants, and then the everybody that packs up the kit, they're normally the last ones out, whether it's a home game or an away game. They're the last ones, because by then, you know, maybe the players have made it into the bar or they've made it away already. But on a Tuesday evening, I don't think there's many people that leave the clubhouse after the kit manager, who then has probably in the back of their mind got the thoughts of having to clean the kit as we get muddier and muddier as the season goes on. So, a big round of applause if we can for those people that help with the kit as well, week in, week out.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of cogs in the machine, isn't there, that kind of keep everything ticking along. And it's just nice to have that, all those cogs whirring again this season, as we keep saying, with everything back now.
Yeah, lots of cogs, but the only cogs that are ever really exposed and vulnerable are the ones that wear the manager's hat, or maybe, you know, first team coach or whatever the modern fixture is nowadays. A busy weekend ahead for you guys, reporting on, you know, all the matches that we've got up and down the country, but quite a hectic news week as well with the managerial merry-go-round. Not even at the end of September, but changes are plenty this week. You mentioned Ware and Hemel Hempstead in the National South. I think that was the first change this weekend. Lee Bertram stepping aside at Hemel, and Mark Jones, formerly of Oxford City, taking up the reins there. But as you mentioned, it's always hard to have an immediate impact, but defeat on Tuesday at home to Ware in the FA Cup in his first game.
Yeah, I think Mark Jones would have learned an awful lot from that game. I think he spoke to colleague David Richardson this week and said, yeah, maybe realise what we've got to do moving forward. And one of those kind of disappointing results for him and the club, but I'm sure in many ways he will sort of take more from that in the long run. As you say, he's at Oxford City before, and we've seen one of his Oxford City sides play, and good football, and we're enjoyable to watch. I'm sure he'll try and get that going at Hemel again. Obviously a shame to see Lee Bertram moving on. He's always been really helpful with the paper, and did a great job beforehand at Berkhamsted, and I'm sure they'll be back in somewhere soon as well, because it's been a difficult time really, because they never quite had the run. They obviously went there last season and season got curtailed, and it's just been a difficult period. But yeah, it's always a shame to sort of see this kind of this sort of stage of the season that we're at now, where people are losing their jobs, and I guess it's sort of part of football.
It is, and it shows how important it is for clubs to stay in a division as well. With the clubs making these decisions already. Yeah, Hemel Hempstead have only played six games in the league there. One club having only played five, and one of those was a win, and one was a draw. Also, changing managers. So Steve Lovell departing Welling in the National South.
Yeah, sort of. It's been a busy week in that league, isn't it? And I guess it sort of shows, I mean, you know, sort of kind of how limited time is for managers these days. And it does seem to be getting shorter and shorter, that sort of span of all the before changes are made. But a, you know, difficult start for both clubs. And like you say, there is only sort of five, six games in, and it's been strange. I was talking to a manager yesterday and saying, you know, we've only played five games, and I think, well, but it feels like this season, that sort of step two, has been sort of going on for quite a while, and actually it's not played that many games, because there hasn't been as much sort of front loading of fixtures like we've seen in previous years at step one and two. So I don't think they've had any midweeks at all, step two, National League North and South, really, other than sort of some of the rearranged games and then the bank holiday Monday. So there's not actually been a huge amount of football played, and we're sort of coming towards the end of September. But yeah, I think it's obviously the last couple of years haven't been relegation from those divisions, and you know, clubs are just sort of, you know, desperately trying to make sure that they stay up and stay at those levels and kind of everything that comes with it. So that's why I guess they're making these big changes.
Yeah, and similarly at step one as well in the National League, Danny Searles left Aldershot Town to be replaced by, I guess this week, Mark Molesley, and also a managerial vacancy again at Barnet, with Harry Cool going and Dean Brennan, director of football, taking temporary charge this weekend, I believe.
Yeah, I think sort of Barnet's kind of, you say it's again, isn't it? Here we are again, and you know, I know they're sort of, it's just not gone right there at all since Darren Curry left. And it sort of makes you wonder, you know, because it can't just be the managers. There's lots of things obviously going on at the club, and there's been lots of changes and difficulties that sort of been kind of well publicised. And you know, I feel for the fans, and it's just sort of so frustrating. I think you're sort of seeing that in their attendances, how frustrated they are with the club, and obviously Harry Kewell going in there, and you know, did he have quite the right knowledge of the National League? I don't know. You know, they've got a very decorated player, and obviously you know, very knowledgeable, but it's sort of fortunate for him, his manager career hasn't sort of gone as he would have liked so far, and the other jobs that he's kind of had as well. So I mean, I guess it's probably no, it's not like it's one that sort of you fall off your seat and surprise at, is it, that he's kind of moved on. But Dean, you know, you say he's there and he knows the level and he knows non-league football and he's had success at other clubs, and I just feel that football club just needs some stability and sort of bit of pride putting back into it, because it's been pretty difficult for them. You know, Simon Bassey went in there at the end of last year and turned it around a little bit from where they were, but they always kind of had that, you know, made a really big impact, and now he's sort of moved on as well, and sort of think they just need a bit of stability where they can sort of build again, because you know, the way it's going at the moment, it's not looking good. And obviously they were sort of the benefit last year of there being no relegation out of step one, so you know, you've got to be making the most of that chance that some people won't sort of really feel they deserve, I guess.
Yeah, and it's going to, as you say, there's not too many games being played so far. I think, you know, both Barnet and Aldershot have played, what, seven games in the league so far. But those games are now going to start coming thick and thin as well, aren't they? You know, one after another. And it's very difficult for a new manager to get his new side organised in time to make an immediate impact.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's as we say, it's not because there hasn't been so many games after games at the moment. It's kind of a bit more, you know, not as much sort of that contact game time to work away forward. But I guess that gives them a bit more time on the training ground to get their ideas in. Like I say, of Aldershot, Mark Moseley sort of knows the club. He's played there. The fans will be happy that he's there. You know, again, feel for Danny Searle and Emma Oden have left, but you know, it's not been easy at the club. They're sort of crowds have been down a little bit, and it's not been, you know, not been where they sort of, you know, they were so used to sort of being part of promotion pushes for so many years, and it's not been easy, and they've clearly not been able to get, you know, haven't got the sort of spending power that other clubs in that division have. And Danny's always been a really approachable person, didn't well at Braintree, and you can see what he's trying to do it all his shot. And obviously I'm sure he's disappointed to no longer be there, but say with Mark, he's someone obviously the club kind of knew who they wanted, because it was a quick appointment, and he did really well at Weymouth previously, two promotions, and went to Southend, and I think maybe he would have learned a lot at Southend, and kind of there's obviously lots of things going off the pitch that we now can see, and while they're kind of in the same division that he's now managing in as well with Aldershot. So yeah, I think it's someone who can at least sort of knows the club, knows what the fans want, and he will go in there and try and make an impact as quickly as possible in a tough game against FC Halifax on Saturday, who are going well at the moment and had a good win against Stockport County last week.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting season in the National League again. I mean, it's an interesting weekend all around. This week we've had the FA Cup third qualifying round draw with some tasty ties lined up for next weekend. But this weekend, I mean, are you having to import extra paper because we've got the FA VAR second qualifying round? We spoke to Phil and it's 182 ties. Also, the start of the FA Trophy as well, a handful of ties in the first qualifying round there. Plenty of reports, I guess, an action to try and get into this weekend's paper.
Yeah, I think extra paper and extra paracetamol. It's one of the soothe the headache that it's trying to work out who's playing where, what's going on, who's in the trophy, who's not in the trophy. Some are in the league, some aren't in the league. It's step four. It's definitely an interesting week, and one you're sort of glad to sort of get through by the time we get to Saturday night. But yeah, there's plenty going on, and as you say, there's the second instalment of the FA VARs this week, and now the trophy's kind of kicking off with you know, these clubs that kind of been the, I don't know, what sort of corner we call them, the lucky or the unlucky ones who've sort of been drawn into this earlier round. So there are some clubs that step forward playing in the league. Some have got the week off, and I think it's 19 ties, FA Trophy ties this weekend, with hashtag playing on the Sunday in their game. So yeah, plenty to get in, lots of reports, and it is a bit of a headache trying to get it all in, particularly on a busy news week, as you say, when there's lots of managerial change and all sorts of other things going on.
Yeah, I one of those stories that struck me was the Scaffold League. The Canterbury City announcing at one point during the week that they were having to withdraw from the league, but it does look now like they've found a mystery saviour that's enabled them to continue in the league, and hopefully that'll be allowed. It's stories like that probably give you a headache, but they give us all a smile in non-league when we hear that clubs are able to continue and tick along.
Yeah, I think as we said before, kind of that big fear of COVID and everything that came along was how many clubs were kind of going to be forced into difficult positions, and would they be kind of ceasing to exist or withdrawing from leagues or taking relegations? And we've seen a bit of that, and we've seen some clubs go out completely, and some drop down, but in the main, it's not been too bad. So I think it was sort of when you see here of clubs like Canterbury struggling and deciding that they can't kind of sort of go on, it's really disappointing. I mean, they've had sort of, I remember going down to their FA Vars semi-final against Cray Valley PM a few years ago, and you know, they were at Faversham and kind of talking to the people around the club saying, you know, just how desperate they're trying to sort of convince the council to get back into the city and kind of the potential that they've had, and this has kind of been an ongoing battle for many years, and they've had all sorts of challenges because of that, and disappointed to see that they were going to have to pull out, but someone seems to have ridden to the rescue, and hopefully that can at least sort of get them through the season, and they can kind of work out where they're going. I mean, I'm sure the future's not completely clear for them there, but at least it kind of gives them a bit of hope, and don't really want to see clubs kind of pulling out partway through the season. Like I said, shows what some are up against for all sorts of various different reasons.
Yeah, and I'd imagine up and down the country is probably chairman, secretaries, people listening to this that are in a similar position. You know, week in, week out, living that non-league existence in the current economic climate, and that, and we give them as much support as we can offer, and I'm sure that the whole of non-league will be there by their side if they could and help them. And talking about the whole of non-league, we've discussed the number of reports and games and everything that need to be in. There anything else we can expect to read in this weekend's non-league paper, Matt?
Yeah, we've got plenty of FA Cup kind of reaction to the teams that have gone through it. So we've spoken to Ware and Clevedon. There's plenty of sort of, there's so much going on at the moment. It's kind of difficult to keep up with it all. But yeah, we've got the FA Cup third round qualifying sort of preview action coming thick and fast. Got a column from Northern Premier League chairman Mark Harris, sort of giving his kind of view on the sort of carried a debate in last week's paper about the broadcast blackout and kind of just seeing what people thought of it really. And some are in favour of it staying, some are against. And Mark's kind of written this column, kind of putting his views across and how he sees it. Hereford manager Josh Garland's written his latest column as well. I mean, sort of been having talking of management and how sort of tricky it's been. He's saying, you know, he's been going through one of the toughest sort of periods of his career, and they beat Lymington in the FA Cup in their replay the other night, and kind of hoping that can kind of kick them on now for the rest of the season after finally getting a home win for the first time this year that they've sort of all been desperately hoping for. And we've got plenty of other bits as well. I mean, Tony Chenzo and Nose Tony sort of giving his views, reflections of seeing Jimmy Greaves playing in non-league, obviously the sad passing of an English football legend last weekend. So plenty in there. Other clubs, as you've said, with Canterbury City, you've spoken to Mark Jones about his new role at Hemel, and Mark Mulsey at Aldershot as well. I know he's on your show now as well.
Well, plenty to read. I might have to take Monday off as well just to catch up with it all. But Matt, thanks for joining us once again on the Non-League Football Show.
Thanks, Tim.
That's it then for this week. Thank you to all of my guests as ever, and for everybody for listening. Don't forget you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show, and myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. As ever, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, but also now on Google Podcasts, on Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Public, via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football, thank you, and goodbye.
Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA.